The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by Eno, the Capital One assistant. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain podcast on ESPN Radio.
I think a World Cup pool play style, let's get into a knockout round NBA tournament would be fun. Increasingly, it seems like simpler is better, or simpler is what they'll do. So they're all headed to Disneyland? Disney World? For a regular old NBA playoff tournament? Who gets what hotel? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation at 888-729-3776. On our phone lines, ESPN NBA reporter, Tim Bontemps. What's up, Tim?
Doing well, Will. How are you, man?
I'm good. You know, I got kind of excited, and I'm into let's get creative, let's get nuts, let's do a World Cup pool play, let's do a play-in tournament. I don't know. Let's use this year, which is almost inevitably bound to have an asterisk, to be creative. Go ahead and enjoy the asterisk. But from what I read, there's two things going on. They're aware of that asterisk, and they do not want to heighten it in the NBA, and they kind of think let's just keep it simple. Is that the way it's headed? It's just kind of going to end up being, you know, eight teams, West, East, maybe a few more to play in. What are we headed for right now? Because it seems like simpler is the choice.
Well, I thought from the beginning that the most likely path forward was going to be a 16-team playoff, as we've always had. And those are the teams that go to Orlando, for the simple fact that that is the simplest, shortest, and safest way for the NBA to come back. And when you put those three things together, that's a pretty good argument for why they should do it. Now, there is one component there that is not factored in, which is the financial component. And the reason why there's all this talk about pool plays and 20 teams and 24 teams is because I think that it's pretty clear that bringing all 30 teams back and having some teams there with absolutely no reason to be there is not going to be a winning argument. So if you shift away from that, then it becomes, all right, how can we find a way to play more games? Whether it is, like you said, some kind of play-in tournament, or whether it's one of these, you know, group stage World Cup type formats. And I think really over the next 24 hours, really between now and, you know, I'd imagine tomorrow's Board of Governors meeting will be wrapping up around now. That's really, to me, going to be the question. Is it going to be the simple, shortest, and safest way, you know, to do this and just have the 16 teams, or is the NBA going to try to get creative? Because to your original premise, I don't know if we have a definitive answer yet on which way that's going to go. I think, you know, the next 24 hours will probably tell us a lot about which way they decide to have this thing play out.
Hey, this is something that's come up here. Our boy Nuno, who runs the show, asked this question. I know the answer you're going to give me probably is nobody knows. But have they thought about this? So we get all of these playoff teams. We get them to Disney World, which is in the Eastern time zone. We have tip-off times, and I don't know how many games we're shoving into one day over what period of time and how quickly we run these playoffs. But
right. My
thought is they're probably going to have to tip off some games late. One, for logistics, and two, because are the Lakers going to play in the middle of the day on the West Coast, or are they going to play on a West Coast time zone? And then, therefore, are all these West Coast teams going to stay on a West Coast time zone, or are they going to adjust and be playing games from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of a little bit, while not a travel problem, it's a time zone problem.
Well, I mean, it definitely is to a degree. When Brian Winterhurst and I did a big story on what a bubble scenario would look like, we kind of mapped out the time frame, and it would take about 2 months to do the playoffs from start to finish. I think it's exactly 55 days. If you had a day between games all the way through, and you had every round have at least one series go seven games. So you could probably even cut that down by 5 or 6 days if a couple rounds and shorter like they usually do. So you could knock it out in a couple months. As for the time thing, I do think that is going to be an interesting thing for the league to have to navigate. And I think in the first round, you probably would have to have a couple games earlier in the day, depending on exactly how many courts are at the Wide World of Sports Complex. I think they could maybe do a couple at a time. I don't think they could do more than that. And you wouldn't want to do more than that anyway from a TV perspective. You'd probably want to highlight as many games as possible. So the one thing I'll say, though, is in the NBA, during the NBA Finals, you have games in the Eastern time zone starting at 9:15 local time. So, you know, if you had a game start at 6 and then one at 8:30, like, that wouldn't be, like, totally out of the norm of what NBA players are used to. It'd be a little early on the West Coast if you had games starting at 6, but, you know, that's still roughly in line with what the typical playoff time format would look like.
Yeah, in order to condense that schedule, would you say we'll probably have multiple games going on at the same time? So you'd have to, I don't know, what are we going to do? Put games on multiple channels? It's the playoffs, so it's not just going to be on League Pass. I mean, so we're talking about multiple tip-offs in a day, right? Possibly overlapping?
Well, if you're going to do, like, you can game it out this way. So after the first round, you could do the two East games one day and the two West games the next day, right? You don't have to worry about travel. You could have one game start at 6, one game start at 8:30. You could have one at 7, one at 9:30, whatever you decide to do. And you could just play it every day, every other day all the way through. The question would be what you do in the first round. My guess is, to your point, you probably wouldn't want to have games going up against one another. So you could do that maybe from, you know, I don't know. You could do it like the NCAA tournament. You'd have a game at noon, a game at 3, a game at 6, and a game at 9, something like that. Or maybe, you know, noon, 2:30, you know, 5 and 7:30, something like that. But so I think in the first round, you'd probably have it staggered out a little bit. But if you're just doing those 16 teams and you have everybody in one place, you know, you don't have to worry about travel. You don't have to worry about guys getting worn out about that. You know, like the NCAA tournament is a good example. I mean, there are games in that start, you know, at 8, 9 o'clock local time. Mm-hmm. In Eastern markets. So I don't think that part is going to be a huge hurdle for them. And frankly, I think the logistics of this overall aren't going to be that complicated. I think navigating the bubble and the testing and trying to make sure everybody is healthy, I think it's going to be a lot more difficult for the NBA than kind of figuring out this kind of technical, when is the game going to happen stuff. I think that's kind of a plug and play thing, just depending on what scenario they decide to go with.
I'm going to come back to one more question here with Tim Bontemps, ESPN NBA reporter, on the logistics and how basketball returns. But first, let's talk about basketball for a second. Mike Greenberg said on Get Up he thought this potential return could really, really help young teams. If Kawhi Leonard's got to play back-to-backs, if LeBron James got to play on a shortened schedule, that could really hurt the title hopes for those kind of teams. I, on the other hand, think, wow, a team like the Clippers, who might have had to play a 7-game series against the Lakers and never have one of those really being a home game, they might get a big boost here because of the neutral floor. Who do you think in, look, we said Lakers, Clippers, Bucks. We pretty much had narrowed it down to those three when we were talking about realistic title contenders. What do you think this does to that pool? Who's realistic and who gets a bump on title contention here?
Well, I actually think a lot of teams will benefit from this break. I am not convinced there's going to be back-to-backs. I mean, we have to wait and see what this looks like. I'd be surprised if in any playoff format there were back-to-backs. I think there's enough time to fit this in safely without having to do that. So I don't think that's going to be a concern. And if you look across the league, a lot of these good teams are full of veteran players who have had a significant chunk of time off to rest their bodies. And they're going to come into the playoffs with way more juice, I think, than they would normally just from a health and energy standpoint. You look at a team like Houston that was playing basically 6.5 guys and was on fumes when we got to the suspension of the season. Giannis Antetokounmpo was dealing with a knee issue. Kemba Walker in Boston was dealing with a knee issue. Ben Simmons wasn't probably going to be ready for the playoffs because of a back issue. He should be healthy. You know, you kind of go down the list. I think that all these teams, you know, Kawhi Leonard gets more time off. Victor Oladipo gets a couple, you know, 3 months to work on his body more than he expected. So, look, there could be a heightened risk potential with the way this is playing out. We don't know how it's going to go. I do think your point about the Clippers is a really good one. Their home court advantage was non-existent. Now they don't have to worry about playing basically 7 road games. I think if they do play the Lakers, that's a big advantage for them. But I do think a lot of teams are going to benefit from having, you know, these veteran players with a lot of miles on their legs get, an unexpected 3 or 4 months to kind of, you know, rest their bodies and prepare for whatever this playoff run is going to look like.
All right, last question for Tim Bontemps, ESPN's NBA reporter here. So I don't have a ton of time, but I do find this curious. Somebody tweeted this earlier. So You know, on June 17th, the English Premier League is going to come back. England shut down, I believe, after the United States largely. I think this is true as well, had three times the death rate. I'm not sure. Why have they been able to get their sports league back on pace quicker than any, not just the NBA, any of the American sports leagues? That might be a big question for you, Tim, but I do think it's curious why they're getting back quicker than, say, the NBA.
I think it's an interesting one. It's one I haven't really thought that much about. I mean, my quick answer on it would be that they don't have to worry about their guys traveling nearly as much. They basically have everybody living right by the facility. I think they have a lot more control over how this is going to play out. And also, they just have to play a few regular season games. I think it's like 8 games total. Mm-hmm. So you can wrap that up in a few weeks. Whereas basketball, say, right, or baseball, they have to completely tear up what their existing structure is.
That's true.
And move stuff somewhere else and figure it out. So my guess is that is why. But it's a good question, and I don't have a definitive answer as to why.
No, but you're right. The logistics of these leagues is bigger than bringing back soccer, who has more players on the roster, at least. What is it, like 15 to 18 guys? Nuno knows.
They have 18 guys active for games.
Yeah, but a lot fewer games we're talking about here. Okay, ESPN NBA reporter Tim Bontemps here on the Will Cain Show. Thanks, Tim. I appreciate it.
Anytime. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, take care. Round 2, Butthurt, next on the Will Cain Show.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name? Check. Birthday? Social Security? Is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag. Done.
Geico. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, and this is Shower Sessions. Part interview, part concert, all from the shower. Grammy winner St. Vincent invites up-and-coming artists to sing, share, and get funky. All in the sound booth of the home, the shower. Watch now at youtube.com/progressive. Coming up is Pete Carroll, for sure, the top coach in the NFC West, and if he is, who would you rather have right now? Which hot coaching commodity? Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay to run your team? That continues our preview of divisions in the NFL with the NFC West coming up in just a moment. But it's time for round 2 of Butthurt. Mike A's back, Pat's here, Nuno, Bubba, and myself. Before we get started, Mike, there has been some complaints lodged against your moderation. First of all, complaint number 1. You seem to be sitting on some fastballs that people are suggesting when it comes to trivia and maybe even Butthurt, you should not be sitting on. This should be much more randomized. And I have to say, I'm a little bit sympathetic. What were you doing sort of organizing your questions yesterday in the Wednesday Will Cain Show quiz show for certain people at certain times?
So I had probably 6 to 8 questions available at my disposal. And I just randomly chose some, making sure that I got the D question in there for obvious reasons. And then, yeah, I had one question that I was saving for a big moment. And we got a big moment.
Mm-mm, that's not the way they do it on Jeopardy. Just to be real clear, you
I'm
had
sorry,
those questions.
They don't have a $1,000 question at the end? At the end of the category?
Some of those questions were, what was that D word you used? What?
Yeah,
you had those questions at your. You had those questions at
disposal.
Your disposal. Oh, because I'm pretty sure you said disposable.
No, I didn't, but maybe I did.
Check the tape.
Pretty
sure those questions were at your disposable. Okay. Don't get
any
sensitive,
other complaints.
Sensitive, Mike. We're gonna have to revise who gets most butthurt before we even get started. All right, Mike. You've got the questions. Take it away. Let's play round 2 of Butthurt.
Oh, well, I've been saving this one, obviously.
Of course you have.
Kidding. So we had who would you least like to be stuck with on a desert island, but now we have who would survive the shortest amount of time on a desert island.
Okay. Well, I think we all know where this is going. I think this is a two-man race, and okay, I'm ready. You guys ready?
Ready.
Least likely or who dies first on a desert island? 3, 2, 1, Bubba.
Bubba. Nuno.
Pat.
What?
No way it's Nuno. Nuno is a bad answer. Nuno could probably figure out how to rig a lot of stuff.
Why do you think Nuno's MacGyver? Where did that come from?
Yeah, what?
listen,
yeah,
Nuno,
he's closer
Nuno,
to MacGruber,
Nuno
let's be honest.
Nuno and I have had some conversations. Nuno would be able to hunt and fish and all that stuff. I think Nuno would be all right.
What?
I am the son.
Nuno hurt his foot just walking around last week.
But listen, when it comes to survival.
I have never in my life thought the word Nuno and outdoorsy go together.
Will is
out of it. Nuno is out of it. You guys don't know. I'm the son of a villager. I've been tested. It came down to Nuno or Pat.
Why me?
I went Nuno.
I'm young and fit.
Again, I didn't choose you, but you were in the bottom two.
I chose you, Pat.
Why would Pat be first to die?
I'm going to bring up what I talked about during the pre-show. Like, Pat talks about his partying ways, but like just hanging out by himself. Like anyone who drinks Bay Breezes when he's hanging out by himself, I don't think he's gonna survive on an island for very long by himself.
I mean, there are no Bay
Breezes. Not for nothing,
on the island.
Bay Breeze might be happening on the island as opposed to say a beer or a scotch.
I guess
exactly.
So you think the fact that Pat pours himself a Bay Breeze solo on a Wednesday night means he dies early on a desert island?
Oh, definitely. It's between him and Bubba. Like, for whatever reason, Bubba, like, keeps doubting me. Like, yes, I might hurt myself, like, walking or something.
I have a lineage.
I come.
Exactly. I got you, Nuno. Whereas the island might be fraught with goats, and Bubba would be like, "But that's not."
I've helped kill goats before, or what? Rabbits and things of that nature.
What,
in New York City, where were you?
So. Like,
you killed a goat or a rabbit? Tell me about that.
I hope Peter's listening.
Listen, I'm a Portuguese.
How do you kill a rabbit? Tell me how you kill a rabbit. You slaughter a rabbit.
Back of that neck.
With what? A karate chop?
You could do karate chop if
you've done it yourself?
No, but I know how to do it.
What do you mean you've helped?
You just said you have killed goats and rabbits.
Standing next to your dad? What were you encouraging? Great
hey,
job,
hey,
dad.
Hey. At least my dad loves me. He didn't commute for work.
What?
What just happened?
I don't know, but I'm in. Oh,
Bubba's laughing, thank God, but it felt very, very ugly there for a second.
It felt really personal.
Bubba knows what I'm talking about. What's next?
It was pretty harsh.
No, I'm okay if we don't move on from this.
I think the answer is clearly Bubba, because even if Nuno manages to limp his turned ankle through the woods and karate chop a boar on the back, Bubba ain't eating it. I mean, unless there's some ranch dip to go with it.
Or it's at 11 a.m.
He's not eating that.
Yeah, the food's going to be a problem.
Bubba dives first. What do you got next, Mike?
Who is the most emotional?
The most emotional. That's a good one.
I don't know.
I think Bubba's out of the running on this one.
Yes, I think we can create Bubba's out.
Well, he hides it though. He's one of those guys that's down deep, and it bubbles up here and there. I think I know. I'm ready. I think I know. Okay.
This is tough.
I know. Three.
This is hard.
Two. One.
Will.
It's me.
I'm
Did
shocked.
You guys all vote me, but me?
No, I voted myself.
Oh, I voted you too. It's you, Nuno?
I think it's a toss up between you and I, but I do.
Probably is, actually. People wouldn't know.
I mean, emotional just doesn't mean crying. I've seen you two scream at each other more than I've seen anything else.
Will does have some highs and some lows.
Yeah.
Could be. I think it might be Nuno, though. Bubba, you think it's me?
Yes. We'll leave it at that.
All right.
Hey, you want this last one?
I think I know what Bubba might be referencing. Go ahead.
Who would you least like to be your boss?
Done.
That's gonna say.
3, 2.
Nuno.
One.
Oh, sorry.
Mike.
Mike.
Pat.
We all pick somebody.
Everybody sees a little tyrant in somebody else. All right, that's a good round two of Butt Hurt. Who's the best coach in the NFC West if you're picking between Shanahan and McVay? That's next on the Will Cain Show.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
I've said today I predict the San Francisco 49ers to win the NFC West, the Los Angeles Rams to get last, and the Cardinals to actually perform better than the Seahawks. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. I've also said if you take Russell Wilson out of the equation, the one quarterback you want to build around between Garoppolo, Goff, and Murray is Murray. You can go hear those cases made on the Will Cain Show podcast. But now, in our preview of the NFC West division, the question gets to the coach. Pete Carroll, much like Russell Wilson, is grandfathered into the best coach in the division debate. He's grandfathered into a win in that debate. And his resume backs it up. Look, in his career, he has made the playoffs, I believe it is 8 out of 10 years. I think it's also that he's had a winning season 8 out of 10 years in Seattle. So 8 straight winning seasons, 7 playoff trips in the last 8 years. Bottom line is, Pete Carroll's had them not just in the playoffs, not just with a winning record, but making playoff runs because they haven't been one and done. The only time they did that was 2 years ago when they played the Dallas Cowboys in the wild card round and lost. Every other year, it's been at least 2 playoff games. And you have to respect the consistency that the Seahawks have always been in the running. But there are also questions about Pete Carroll. That is, why is he never turning this loose? Like, let it go. Let Russell Wilson do his thing. There's a general consensus, especially among the analytics dudes, that he's holding Wilson back. He wants to run. He wants to play big-time defense. He wants to run on first down. He wants to run on 2nd and 10. He wants to constantly have a situation where Russell has to bail them out instead of letting Russell just fly. And some in-game decisions have made some question whether or not Carroll truly is in that top tier of coaches. But Lane Kiffin, now Ole Miss's coach, who was with Carroll at USC, was on the Marty Smith's America podcast, and he said, Pete Carroll, one of the smartest dudes ever been around. Listen to this.
Probably naturally smart would be Pete Carroll. He didn't have to really go learn as much from other people and things, or, you know, it wouldn't take him hours to watch film to figure something out. It was just, he could figure things out so fast and see the game so well during the game, both sides of the ball. You know, he'd say things during the game that he's seen down there from the field. You know, you're not usually, you know, there's only a few people in the world that can see the game like that, in my opinion.
It's Lane Kiffin on Marty Smith's podcast. What's interesting is I did a podcast today, a long interview. It's not up yet, but with USC coach Clay Helton. He said something similar about Kiffin. So he's one of the smartest dudes, like a savant, like playing a video game when it came to offense. He said he learned a lot from LSU head coach Ed Orgeron about loving your players, about having a relationship with your players, which has been particularly important in this moment through this quarantine, stay-home pandemic, and actually using or needing that relationship to communicate with players when not just college football, but in particular the Pac-12, and not just the Pac-12, but in particular California, and not just California, but in particular Los Angeles County, are places where you are dealing with the most uncertainty in football coming back. So how do you keep guys from transferring? How do you keep guys from committing somewhere else to play? You communicate. You love on them. That Clay Helton interview will be up soon here on the Will Cain Show podcast feed. You can learn more about what it's like to always live on the hot seat. We also talked about his quarterback, Keaton Slovis, and how he stood out. I'll play some of that tomorrow here on the Will Cain Show. But back to the NFC West, Carroll, whether or not he's been able to turn Russell Wilson loose, which he's going to have to this year, and take that leap to the top, I mean like top tier of NFL coaches, because I think he's kind of in that 5-6 range instead of that 2-3 range. He's going to have to, I think, get a little more loose. Not with the locker room culture, but with the offensive play calling. Let it be Russell's team. Let it go. But here's what I think is fascinating. Sean McVay. A year ago, we had conversations like, how many first-round draft picks would you give up for Sean McVay? Now, it's Kyle Shanahan. He's the offensive boy wonder in the NFC West. And who would you rather have? I'll tell you this. Shanahan's future looks brighter than McVay's because the team isn't just built on offensive genius. Big-time defense, running game. I mean, this Niners team looks like it's built to last a little more than that Rams team that went to the Super Bowl did. And Shanahan's going to win this debate if it's based upon what's happening over the next couple of years. And I probably would pick Shanahan, whether I'm being a prisoner of the moment or not, over McVay. 1-4 seems set, Carroll and Kingsbury. 2-3, McVay versus Shanahan. It's a tougher call of two guys whose careers kind of mirror each other. I think give me Shanahan. You can let me know what you think. 888-729-3776. Jason from Alaska, what's up, man? You want to talk about baseball, fans in the stands, Texas Governor Greg Abbott saying 25%. That's the capacity starting in June. What's up, Jason? You there, Jason? And he's gone. Let's go to Amir in Florida. What's up, Amir?
Hey, how you doing, Will?
I'm good.
Yesterday you were talking about the Clippers having the best advantage of playing in Orlando. I think GOAT James and the Lakers have the best advantage because he played 4 years in Miami. He still got a lot of fans out here in Florida.
Yeah, but most of the conversation hasn't been about fans being in the stands in these bubble city games, Amir.
And how the Clippers have the best advantage if they don't have fans in the stands?
Because the argument was that the Clippers wouldn't have a home court advantage in L.A. You take them out of having fans in the stands, and there is no home court advantage for anyone. So they are the ones that prosper because that whole thing is negated.
True. All right, thanks.
All right. Sorry to interrupt your meal.
He thought he had you.
He really did.
Normally I would have just been like, I'm not putting you on. But I'm like, yeah, I think we could have fun, a little fun with Amir.
He thought he had me, and he was very far from having me. So I want to get this straight. His argument was, and he slipped in the nickname, GOAT James, would have an advantage because he played in Florida with the Heat, so therefore he'd have a lot of fans. Even though it's a bubble environment and there will be no fans.
Yeah, he said, hey, I heard Will talk about this yesterday, about how the Clippers have an advantage playing on Orlando. And he's like, did he forget that, you know, LeBron played in Miami? And I'm like, Amir, just hold on. Let me place you on hold. We will get you on. But I was also upset that Jason, who was hanging on for a while, didn't get on. Because I do think his question that he wanted to bring up about MLB and fans and because you led the show with Texas Governor Abbott talk about how outdoor stadiums will be allowed to have fans starting in June at 25% capacity. His thing was, okay, that like we're talking about having fans, but how many are actually going to be able to go because, you know, and afford actually to go?
And his argument is what? Only the rich will get those
25%. Well, not even his argument,
tickets.
But just that conversation, right? Like, oh, like people want sports back, but like, are we sure they're going to be quick to go to games? And not because of fears of, you know, getting coronavirus or something of that nature, but actually being able to afford them.
Yeah. I mean, I would think that if you're reducing supply by 75%, the cost of those 25% of tickets is going to go way up. And what more, the teams that are selling those tickets are going to want to extract the biggest price they can out of those tickets in order to recoup what's been a ton of lost revenue. There's not going to be a ton of incentive to give those tickets away in college sports to students at college student prices or in the pros for nosebleed prices. It's probably going to end up being a little bit like boxes in the NFL. It's probably going to be end up going to the richest. And you can get upset about that, but I don't know how you avoid that. They have to make money. Supply goes down. That means demand usually goes up and prices go up. I don't know how you avoid. I don't know how we keep the common man, the student, in those environments. It's going to be tough, but it might be unavoidable. LeBron James, NFL player, tight end or defensive end? Is he the guy we select to protect us from the Martians? Let's settle that debate next on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Couple of notes. Earlier in the show, hung out for a half hour with my buddy Damian Woody, ESPN football analyst. We had a deep conversation about everything going down in Minneapolis and the death of George Floyd. I think we had an honest conversation about how awful that entire situation is, both of our opinions on it, and the role of race in these issues between Americans and the police department. You can go check that out. It's up separately from the rest of the show on the Will Cain Show podcast feed. I hope you do. It's real. Second, DeAndre Hopkins, newest Arizona Cardinal wide receiver, was on the Jalen Jacoby podcast. He said the following: I know I'm the best. He means wide receiver. Michael Thomas, know if I had Drew Brees my whole career, what these numbers would be. Julio Jones, know if I had Matt Ryan my whole career, he know what these numbers would be. Some of that's true. DeAndre Hopkins, especially in the early parts of his career, didn't have much in the way at quarterback, not consistency at least, but I can't help but think of the last 3 years, and I recognize there was an injury in there for Deshaun Watson. That's not the coolest thing to land on Deshaun Watson's desk today. I mean, I don't know how that isn't a slight to Deshaun Watson. For the last couple of years, DeAndre Hopkins had a pretty good quarterback throwing his way. So, I don't know how I'm supposed to read that. He is excited, he says, to play with Kyler Murray as well. We love sports. Sports inspire us. They give us hope in ourselves, in the world, and of course, in amazing comebacks. Our love for sports grows each day. Dear Sports is our love letter to sports. Share your Dear Sports letter with us. Call 860-506-6161 or share a video or text using the hashtag Dear Sports on Twitter or Instagram. It was a debate we had on First Take some years ago. If the Martians were coming down, proposed Max Kellerman, and they said, we're going to blow you up unless you can beat us in athletic competition. You don't know what it will be, but nominate your gladiator. Who do you pick? So in other words, best athlete, we don't know what the event will be. Got to cover as many bases as you can. Who do you pick? Well, with LeBron James' discussion about could he play football, is it LeBron? I mean, I saw a comparison of tight ends, Kelce, Gonzalez. LeBron's 6'9", taller than any of them, heavier than, right in the same weight range, I think, 250, as guys who are the best tight ends to ever play. We don't know his 40, but we can only assume it's fast. Let's go with a good vert, should we, on LeBron? I mean, red zone target, tight end, amazing, but I'm not sure, should he play tight end or defensive end? Lewis Riddick was on Get Up talking about LeBron as a weapon. Listen.
Offensive weapon. That's what he's playing, okay? So you can call him a tight end, you can call him a big wide receiver, but you need to have this guy with the ball in his hands, and you need him down the field. Think of, what's LeBron, 6'8", 6'7", 6'8", 250 pounds, 240 pounds. I mean, it was rumored that Michael Jordan ran in the 4.3s in the 40. I'd love to see what LeBron actually ran in the 40-yard dash. And you know his vertical is just sick, 40-plus, whatever that is. And you see what kind of body control and what kind of hand-eye coordination he has. Can you imagine him in the middle of the field as a tight end in a flex position going against today's linebackers and safeties? It would be unfair.
You got to be mean to play defensive end. I mean, you got really mean. And I don't know that LeBron is as mean, but God, he has the body of a sack artist as well. Jonathan from Phoenix wants to get on me about who has the advantage in NBA playoffs. This is on LeBron as well. What's wrong, Jonathan?
Hello.
Hello. And he's gone. Maybe I should have just said hello in response to his hello.
It was a great call.
I thought it was too. Short and to the point. I think the Lakers are at a disadvantage time zone wise and no home court advantage wise. I think the Clippers are at an advantage because in a neutral stadium, no fans. Well, hell, that's better than playing at home. Advantage Clippers. By the way, Lou Riddick wasn't the only one that talked big about LeBron James, the football player. Some football players did, according to Tim McMahon, ESPN's NBA reporter. Listen to this.
I am convinced that LeBron could have gone to the NFL. It, you know, would not have been an every down player probably, but as a pass catching tight end, flex tight end, Antonio Gates type, I'm convinced he would have had double figure touchdowns in a season. And I actually ran my hypothesis by Jason Witten, who knows a little bit about playing tight end in the NFL. And I ran it by Dez Bryant, a guy who knows a little bit about scoring touchdowns. And both of them were absolutely 100% no hesitation convinced that LeBron, in the words of Dez Bryant, would have been a beast.
Would have been a beast. I share that certainty. LeBron would have been. But does that make him our nominee? On the ill-defined, undefined athletic competition to be named later to save us from the Martians? No. No. Somebody on the show said Marquise Goodwin. Well, he's going to have the speed, so I'm not putting LeBron on the soccer field. What if it's soccer? I'm going Odell Beckham. Soccer, basketball, football, track, and field. I don't know about swim competitions or aquatic competitions. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. I have no evidence one way or another. I'm going Odell. My only problem is he a locker room cancer? And I would have to say, if the Martians are threatening death, that has a way of bringing everybody together. My nominee, Odell Beckham Jr. You can let me know what you think at Will Cain on Twitter. We'll see you again tomorrow here on The Will Cain Show.
Thank you for listening to The Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to The Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.